What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Oh, holy crap on a stick. You need to get yourself a subscription to our Patreon page, and specifically the $5 a month level for our Shadow Docket bonus show. On last Thursday's episode, we revealed all kinds of super private details about our sexuality, as well as the ever-changing dynamics of human sexuality in general. And you're never going to believe which one of us had the most to say about all of this. So definitely go sign up. All of it's happening on the Shadow Docket bonus show at patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. Just select the Shadow Docket level, $5 a month, and you're all set. Again, that's patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob.
What?
Bob.
What?
Bob.
What?
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 9, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1176 of the Biden-Harris administration, 210 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
When yeah. You say Buzz Burbank.
Here you go.
You've said it all.
Yeah.
Here he comes.
Yeah, you're gonna need that. Sorry.
What was that?
Guy from Boeing here to get something out of my yard. Just, hi, everybody.
Hi.
He, of course, is Bob. I'm Buzz, and our song catalog is also available.
There you go.
Hey, did you catch any of the eclipse, Bob?
I did.
Yeah, it was. I mean, even if you weren't in the path of totality, it was pretty spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the special glasses. I watched a lot of eclipse coverage on TV. I don't know about you, though. It's been years since I've reached totality.
I looked right into it like Donald Trump did. There's a picture on Instagram of me doing that.
I'm over here if you can't see me. the eclipse was kind of a letdown for a lot of us. It didn't last very long. And when it was over, large parts of the country were still in the dark.
Yes, and I know what those parts are. I know. Yes, I know all about those parts, yeah.
Last week, though, three judges denied Trump's motions to either delay trials or dismiss charges.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't heard that many no's since the pageant days.
Shit.
Over the weekend, Trump challenged a judge to throw him in jail for violating a gag order.
Mm.
He also compared himself to Nelson Mandela.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, let's see what the other inmates think.
Please.
Trump had a record-setting $50 million fundraiser, supposedly, over the weekend.
Lies, yeah.
The Palm Beach Gala attracted billionaires, multimillionaires, and, of course, lawyers and bail bondsmen.
Let's see.
Yeah. And the stock market value of Trump's Truth Social company continues to tank.
Ha-ha.
At last check, that stock is not worth the back of the diploma it's written on.
All right. Kicking off a brand new week with this classic that gets my toes a tapping from the great Rocky Mountain Mike. Here we go.
I want to shove you, wheel you, right to Rikers Island. I want to squeeze your, seize your, all of your golf club. Let's hear you talk real slow. Let us all know. I'm so
Marion Ann Arbor on that one. Rocky
That's
Mountain
right.
Mike. Yeah. Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter. Follow him now, damn it. Amazing pictures of the eclipse up on his social media. And yeah, as I said, Buzz, I took a picture of myself out on our balcony looking right into the eclipse and burning my eyes.
You didn't really.
Though. I didn't. No, of course I didn't. Of course I'm not a moron. Like
You're setting a bad example for the children.
I know. I just posted the two pictures, one of me staring into the eclipse and then one of me reacting to the burning eyes. And then just
missed that. And I didn't see that. I have to go look for that. I have to go look because I've been in and out of social media this morning.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Rocky Mountain Mike's report on what the animals did, because he was, I think, on some kind of like farm or animal preserve or something like that.
He was in a petting zoo.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I wanted to know, I'd ask him, will the animals behave any differently? apparently, at one zoo, the lions roared, the apes ran, and some kind of bird started purring like it was nighttime. But that was about.
Jim Croce song lyric. The apes ran, the lions purred.
I'm just recalling the accounts that I read. I would have liked to have been in the path of totality, though. I'm sorry I missed that, but yeah. I'm glad I got to see it, and it probably be the last one I'll see.
This is how much I respected the eclipse yesterday.
Yes.
I knew it was coming because, of course, science.
Right.
And so when I knew it was coming, what I did was I just said, you know what? This is a great time to go get a haircut because there's not going to be anyone in the barbershop. So I walked over and got a haircut while everyone is outside staring at the eclipse.
But now,
walked right in, sat down, got my haircut.
Did the haircutter resent you for keeping him or her from seeing the eclipse?
Yes. Well, no, it was worse. I kept her from eating her lunch. And I insisted. I said, no, finish your lunch. And she said, no, you sit down, please.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how to get a bad haircut.
Right. Ironically, not a bad haircut this time.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. What a relief. Yeah.
Thank God. But I was thinking of myself instead of noticing this rare scientific
cosmic event. Here's the part I had trouble with, and I get it and I don't get it, and it's true and it's not true, and that is that the eclipse united us. Well, for a second we were all, but I don't.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us was thinking about our fellow man at that moment. They were thinking about the wonder of the cosmos.
Yeah.
And if we were united, we weren't aware of it, I would say.
It was nice that everyone was interested in science for 5 minutes.
Yes. Oh, that's a big thing.
Yeah, not beating the shit out of each other. That was good. Right. So, it's rare that everyone rallies around science, and it's nice when it happens. And so there's at least that. There was at least some sort of shred of common interest. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because it really was that moment where it didn't matter. I mean, even Fox News was talking about the eclipse in kind of a dumb way, but with the same level of enthusiasm as the rest of us were. So it was nice to see that too.
Yeah.
Meantime, I got to make sure we mention this coming up Sunday. I'm going to be out in person in public doing things and talking about things. Yeah. It's
this never happened.
Such a strange thing. It's the first time I've gone to one of these kinds of events since the pandemic. What I'm talking about here is Lisa Lucas's and Debriana Mancini's book, That Time We Ate Our Feelings. There's going to be a huge book event here in the D.C. area at Busboys and Poets Sunday night, April 14th at 5 p.m. in Tacoma. That's in Washington, D.C., don't you know? I didn't know. And it said Tacoma here. I thought it was Tacoma Park, Maryland. But there's a different Tacoma that's right next to it. That happens
now,
to be
in D.C. Now, is this T-A-K-O-M-A or T-A-C-O-M-A? Because those are two spellings.
T-A-K-O-M-A.
Okay, so there's Tacoma, and then Tacoma, Washington with a C, but these Tacoma and Tacoma Park both have Ks. Is that how
Yes, that's right. Okay, yeah, fine. And I'm aware
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, there was some confusion last week. I thought Tacoma meant Tacoma Park, Maryland, which is right here in Montgomery County where I live. And it turns out that they're two separate places. One is on the Maryland side, one is on the D.C. side. And the one we're going to, the Busboys and Poets, is on the D.C. side in Tacoma, in Washington, D.C., in the district, in case I'm being unclear. So for more information about this, go to busboysandpoets.com/events. I will be in conversation with Lisa Lucas and Debriana Mancini. I imagine it's going to be similar to, kind of like my Wednesday interview shows, where I'll just be casually interviewing the authors of this amazing cookbook that has lots of recipes from people you know, including David Ferguson, T-Rex. I think you're mentioned in the book too, Buzz. And we all participated in Corona Kitchen, in that streaming show during the pandemic with Debriana and Lisa. Well, sure. Yeah, yeah. So we all have connections to this incredible cookbook, That Time We Ate Our Feelings, is what it's called.
Great title. Great name of a venue, too.
Yeah.
Poets and Busboys, was that it?
Yeah, Busboys and Poets.
Busboys and Poets.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I like that.
And also, by the way, if you want to go shopping online.
Oh, who doesn't like to shop?
I know. Listen to me. I sound like I'm 98 years old. Hey, do you shop on the internet? Have you done that before?
Have you tried it?
Yeah. Well, you can go to our mall, the Bob Seska Show Mall. Just go to bobseska.com. Under my head at the top of the page, you can see a link for new store. Just click that link. It'll take you right to our T Public store, where we have Spicy Jody products.
Very
our brand
cool.
new Spicy Jody hot sauce logo.
Nice.
Plus jetpacks made of beef designs.
Very funny.
Yeah. And we just added yesterday Mactified Fortune gear. So you can get a t-shirt that
wait.
Says...
I can't wait to see that one.
Yeah, and those of you who are new to the show, in case you haven't heard this yet, Mactified Fortune references this.
And it's like baseball now and football. They do action replays in Mactified Fortune. They have a fashionable magnified tape.
Yeah, I know too much of that by heart. I was mentioning that to Kimberly yesterday. I said, yeah, I just posted a Mactified Fortune design in the store. And she looked at me like a dog who hears a weird noise, like her head tilted to the side. She's like, what is Mactified? What? What did you say? Mm-hmm. And I realized I had never played that audio clip for Kimberly.
That's amazing.
So on the Friday after party, it's like a Mactified Fortune free zone. And so, yeah, so she was completely confused. So, of course, I had to run into my room and play her the clip of it.
And it's like baseball.
I'm not going to play it again. But he says Mactified Fortune, and it's so funny. It's one of his most classic glitches.
That's a fun shirt.
Yeah.
And people should know that the drawings, the cartoons, the artwork, that's all Bob's work. And that's what TeePublic does, is allow independent artists to put their art on t-shirts and sell them. And that's what's happening here. And it's exciting and fun. The jetpacks made of beef is very funny.
Yeah.
I find the Jody one indeed spicy.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, good job, man.
Yeah. I mean, I did all the designs and I did one of the cartoon drawings, the jetpacks made of beef guy. And Lonnie Paul, Jody's husband, did the drawing of Jody in the Spicy
I
Jody
see.
Hot Sauce.
Well, that design. Got you off the hook. So, yeah. You okay, fine.
Right.
That was all on good. That's yes. good to know.
Because if someone's going to do a caricature of Jody, I didn't want it to be me because I thought, well, God, if I make this look weird at all, she's going to be really offended. And she's not a weird-looking person. She's quite beautiful. And it's, so I, you know, her husband stepped up and drew a picture of her specifically for this design. So it's got
Thank
a one-of-a-kind caricature of Jody Hamilton with devil horns. We're wearing a Jessica Rabbit style outfit. That's at our TeePublic mall, right? BobSeska.com. Just click the new store link under my head. Okay. Let's see what else. What's going on?
This is great. I mean, you're doing the book appearance, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to say this to you anyway, and I want to make, because I want to do it in front of people, and that is to thank you for having us as part of your show, all of us, but just speaking strictly for myself, I really am glad to have this place to be, and so I want to thank you for that.
Oh my God, it's my pleasure, Buzz.
Yeah,
we always talk about this off the air, but we're doing a podcast. I always mentioned, God, if I were to go back in time to 1993 and tell myself, yeah, this guy Buzz you're interning for, he's going to be doing a show with you, and you're going to be doing that show out of your apartment in 2024.
Yeah,
30 years or whatever from now, I would have said, oh, you're full of shit. You're full
and
of shit,
Buzz
future
would,
me.
And,
yeah.
And that Buzz would be in Florida. Well, you know, Bob, it's,
here we are.
It's all about the relationships.
Yeah,
you know?
it really is about that. And so I should mention, too, and I don't think I've talked about this on the show yet, but 100% of the proceeds from the Bob Seska Show Mall go to our co-hosts. They do not. That money does not go to me. It goes to you, Buzz, and Jody, and David, and Kimberly. And so that's how this is working. So if you want to support our co-hosts here on the show, go shopping. Oh,
see, now that's what I'm talking about. That's very nice.
Well, it's my pleasure. You guys bring so much value and so much fun and so much talent to this show. Plus, you're great friends. And so
you're a very generous person, and with all of us, and we all appreciate that. So it just needed to be said, and it should be said occasionally, and this was one of those occasions.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. Okay, so, you know, I thought we'd start here. Speaking of friends, our friend Mary Trump has her own Substack, which you should be following.
Yeah, you should.
If you're not following Mary Trump's Substack, it's called The Good in Us by Mary L. Trump. And I'm sure you can find it. It's marytrump.substack.com. And her latest post is called 7 Critical Stories the Media Buried. And I was like, you know what? We don't do this often enough where we talk about, and we obviously cover stories on the show that the mainstream news media isn't necessarily covering the way they should.
Right.
However, we don't usually do a list like this where there are specific stories that just aren't getting the coverage they deserve. So I thought we'd run through these 7 items that Mary posted in her Substack.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. This is a good list.
Yes. And this is also by way of saying, once again, you should be following Mary's Substack. If you can subscribe to it, please do, paying subscriber, I should say.
If you don't know what that is, and until recently I didn't either, but in case you don't, she posts connections to this, links to this across social media.
Yeah.
So no matter what platform you're on, you can find her there, and then she will lead you to the Substack. In fact, in some instances, I think she went ahead and listed all 7 of these on social media.
Yes, absolutely. And so the other thing is, I heard from a listener that Substack is going to be starting a little bit of shenanigans in terms of what they're prioritizing. And I think they're going to start prioritizing the social media aspect of Substack, which could cut into actual paid subscribers or the flow of people to becoming paid subscribers of Substacks, where I think Substack is going to prioritize just free follows of Substack accounts. Suffice to say, I strongly encourage you, if you can afford it, to support financially some of these Substack accounts, because this is the new blogosphere. This is where a lot of people who've gotten squeezed out of the news media are ending up. And so it's really important for independent journalism. It's really important for the truth that we support these accounts, especially the great Mary Trump. Yeah. So let's start here. Number one on her list is Donald's $175 million bond is even shadier than we thought, and Letitia James is closer to liquidating Donald's assets.
Those are really two big stories right there.
Yes. And so this is something that I think we covered a little bit last week in terms of the
shady aspect of the source of that $175 million.
Sure. Yeah. And of course, that guy is Mr. Hanke. Right.
Is again
Don Hanke.
Popping his head up,
Yeah, from Knight Specialty Insurance Company. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this, as I said, in the context of the bond was rejected, partly because they didn't submit a new financial statement with the bond to show that they actually had the finances and some other paperwork. So I thought, okay, well, they're going to submit the paperwork and it's going to be fine. Well, it turns out it's not going to be fine. It could end up being that Letitia James entirely rejects the bond and then starts with enforcement procedures as far as, attaching Donald Trump's properties and things like that. So Mary writes here, as it turns out, the bond is even more dubious than we first believed it to be. The little known insurance company that rescued Donald by providing a last minute $175 million bank fraud bond isn't just unlicensed in New York. It hasn't even been vetted by a voluntary state entity that would verify it meets minimum eligibility standards to prove financial stability. Also, the legal document from Knight Specialty Insurance Company, which is owned by Mr. Hanke again, doesn't actually promise it will pay the money if Donald loses his $464 million bank fraud case on appeal. The other thing I noticed, and Rachel was talking about this last night, I don't know if it was Rachel. It was on MSNBC last night.
She talked about this. Yeah.
Right. Well, they were talking about how Mr. Hanke offered to pay the full $464 million bond.
And then Trump's lawyers went to court and lying told the court,
bingo,
he can't come up with this money.
Yeah.
And so they got the appellate court to lower the bond to $175 million, and then they went back to Mr. Hankey to get the rest of the money. And it's no small thing that Knight Specialty Insurance is not licensed to do business in New York.
Yeah.
This has to be a New York. And this Mr. Hankey owns Axos Bank, which used to be known as Bank Internet USA. Mr. Hankey is Hinky.
Yes.
He's made his specialty, Bob, you'll enjoy this, repossessing people's cars.
Oh, my God, that's fun.
That's the thing he's probably done more than anything else. This is the guy who's lent money to, or supposedly is loaning money to Donald Trump. But yeah, not licensed to do business in New York. Offered the $464 million and for some reason was not taken up on that offer. Instead, Trump's lawyers chose to go to court and lie and tell the court, no, we can't afford that. We need more time and less money, less bond.
Yeah.
They got that, and then they turned around and went back to Mr. Hankey.
Howdy ho!
Yes, obviously Donald Trump's doing business with a bottom feeder here, who's made his fortune based on, doing horrible
other
things to regular people.
Other people's misfortunes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like Jennifer Jason Leigh's character in Fargo Season 5. Just one of these debt collectors who's just so ruthless and awful. Yeah. But so Letitia James has been granted an April 22nd hearing on the matter, according to former prosecutor Eric Lizan. Based on these details, the insurance company will not be permitted to post the bond. Another attorney, Dave Kingman, wrote that James will now be able to begin enforcement proceedings on Donald's properties.
Yeah, that's right. That means she can start after this hearing, and I don't see how they're going to weasel out of this one.
No.
After this hearing, of course, you know, we've said that before, but I think Letitia James is ready, upon the hearing that Bob just outlined, she's ready to actually start seizing properties, because this offer, this loan, this bond is all no good. Not licensed in New York, and the court was lied to.
It's shocking that in a case that proved Donald Trump committed fraud with his business involves more fraud. You know,
right.
Incredible. Donald Trump's lying again? Are you serious?
We didn't see fraud coming.
No, of course not. And shocking that it would come from a Christmas poo. As well, that this guy would be allies with Donald Trump. So we will watch this carefully, but once again, Donald Trump makes things worse for Donald Trump, right? Number two on Mary's list is a key Democratic group allocates $186 million to flip the House. This is some good news. The Democratic Party is investing a whopping $186 million in the battle for the House of Representatives. Yep. The party's primary outside fundraising group, House Majority PAC, which is linked to Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, is reserving $146 million for TV ads and $40 million for digital advertising. The record-breaking amount reflects the party's determination to regain control of the House, and they are just four seats away.
And this is money Trump doesn't have.
No. And that's the great thing about this, is the expenditures by not just the Biden campaign, but also by House Majority PAC, are going to force Donald Trump and the Republicans to invest money that they do not have. And by the way, going back to your monologue, that $50 million fundraiser, gigantic whopper lie. Again, people are taking him at face value that what he says is the truth, and it's not the truth. Don't give him the benefit of the doubt. They may eventually prove it with FEC filings, but until then, assume that Donald Trump is lying about this money.
We will know the first of next month whether he was lying or telling the truth. We know what to expect, but the truth will come out the first of next month.
Okay, so number three on Mary Trump's list, again, marytrump.substack.com. A Republican admits that his own party is spreading Russian talking points on the House floor. Republican Representative Mike Turner has expressed concern about the spread of Russian propaganda among his House Republican colleagues. Turner, who's the chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, otherwise known as the House Intelligence Committee, has noted that anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia messages are being echoed on the floor. It's a story that deserves more attention, not only underscores the need for vigilance against disinformation and propaganda originating from our nation's enemies, but also highlights the broader influence of Putin's Russia within Republican ranks. And I know it's uncool to say this now, to talk about Trump Russia and Russian disinformation and the Russian plot to overthrow American democracy, but it's actually happening.
It's happening again now, right now.
Yeah.
And going to get worse.
Right, right. So what we're talking about here, obviously, most recently, is the story of Alexander Smirnov, who was the Russian goon linked to Vladimir Putin, who was telling House Republicans all kinds of lies about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And that was the basis for their impeachment inquiry.
Right.
We will also revisit Alexander Smirnov here in just a minute later on the show, because there's a story I want to recap about all of that, where, you know, how Donald Trump was able to bail out Truth Central by using some shady business dealings. Shocking. Naturally. Shocking from a known business fraud. Okay, so number four, Donald Trump says he will sue the judge in his hush money election interference case. What do we always say? Trump makes things worse for Trump? Of course he does.
Indeed.
Yeah, so what you're going to do is antagonize the judge whose daughter you have already and repeatedly threatened on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Yeah. That's really smart when your whole future is in this guy's hand. This is a criminal proceeding. I don't think Donald Trump understands the kind of trouble he is in. I think he's accustomed to, and feel free to disagree with me on this, I think he's accustomed to the context of a civil trial, which gives the defendant all kinds of additional wiggle room that you don't normally get in a criminal proceeding, right?
That may be a very astute observation, in fact. That could very well be the case. I support that thinking. This is another interesting situation. I understand that this lawsuit, at first I heard he was going to file, and I thought, well, you know, we've heard those threats before. I guess, and I still haven't gotten this confirmed, but apparently it has been filed now under seal. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means, and that means we are not going to know the details of it if that's the case. I know there's been a lot of panic over the fact that, oh my God, he's filed this lawsuit. I don't know that this is going to make a difference. I think whoever reviews this case, I don't think is going to allow it to go forward because you know it's going to be something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, Donald's lawyers made the ridiculous claim, I'm reading from Mary's work here, he would sue the judge presiding over his criminal election interference hush money case for a perceived conflict of interest, among other delay tactics.
What he's been saying, yeah.
Yeah, Donald and his lawyers say that Judge Juan Merchan is biased because his daughter works at a Democratic consulting firm that helps President Biden's campaign in 2020.
That won't hold up.
No, of course not. I have one question that I hope the media presses Donald on. This is Mary again talking. Why should Judge Merchan recuse himself because his daughter may be a Democrat, but Clarence Thomas can remain on the bench for Donald's immunity case, even though his wife, Ginny Thomas, spread election lies, helped finance and attend the Stop the Steal rally? Exactly fucking right. That's the context that I was talking to Stephanie Miller about last week. That's the context that we don't get from the mainstream press. They don't couple these stories. They don't provide that background and why these stories are important and what they mean and what the long game is. But, you know, thank God again for Mary doing this.
Indeed. And you don't even have to use an example that inflammatory. Throughout the history of our country, there have always been judges who've had family members who donated to one political cause or another.
Yeah.
And until Trump, it never effing mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And it still doesn't.
Yeah.
It's never been considered a conflict in our history of jurisprudence, and it won't be in this case. So I don't think we need to wring our hands over this one, because this is just not going to get off the ground. That accusation, or if you can even call it that, it doesn't hold up, because it has never held up. In no case has a judge been removed from a case because they had a relative who donated to a political cause. Never.
Yeah. By the way, Mary does mention here that there is an update to this story insofar as the appeals court has denied Trump's attempt to delay the trial by seeking a change in venue. He wanted to move the trial to a different location.
Sure.
Yeah, it did not work. So sad for Donald on this. Not a shock, you know, but... This is all part of the lawyer industrial complex that's getting fed in this country in the political sphere, where the legal system is being abused to seek retribution against people you don't like. And this is, I don't know, at some point we'll get around to covering shit like, I mean, not we'll talk about it, but I mean, in terms of reining this in at some right. point in the future when there's no existential crisis regarding democracy, we might be able to address other important things. So
it would be nice fingers to talk crossed. About other issues yeah. like saving the planet and whatnot.
Exactly. So that was just number five on, or no, five I'm sorry, number four. We're only four. Number four oh, on the list.
And the first one was a combo. So, yeah. all right, hang yeah. on.
We may have to split this up on the other side of the break, but let's get to number five here on Mary yes. Trump's list. Uh-huh. RFK Jr.'s New York State director says her number one priority is preventing a Biden victory. Holy that's... God, they're saying it out loud.
Out loud.
In public, in yeah. front of people, into microphones.
That's true, only, and that's what we've suspected and thought all along, but the positions that Kennedy is taking are all Trump positions.
Yeah.
He's saying, yes, the January 6th people should be freed, and no, that wasn't, I mean, name something, a position that Trump has taken, and RFK is now, in recent weeks, taken that position.
Yeah.
He may be poll wise. He may be a threat to Biden now or in the weeks past. But going forward, with this position, he's more likely to take votes away from Donald Trump, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be the case. And I wonder. I have to go back to the exit polls from 2020. But I wonder how many of these bro libertarians who would probably support RFK Jr., I wonder right. how many of them voted for Joe Biden in 2020, who right. would then defect and go vote for RFK Jr. Because I think that's RFK Jr.'s base. I think it's the bro libertarian.
I
sort
think
of
there
the
are
Joe
a lot
Rogan
of,
listener, sort of.
I think there are person. A lot of uninformed Americans who yeah. think, gee, I don't like Biden. I don't like Trump. But here's a guy whose name's Kennedy. He's, you know what I like about this guy? He's an independent. He's not with the Republicans. He's not with the Democrats. I'll show those guys. I'll vote for. And so I think there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people out there. Who see him as an alternative. Now, I honestly think that, like I said, they may be talking about we're out to steal numbers from Joe Biden, but the policies they're proposing and the platitudes coming out of Kennedy's mouth are all Trumpist. Yeah, they're speaking Trump's language there. So I got to think over the next few months, if he keeps that kind of talk up, he's going to take votes away from Trump and not Biden. So I think their intention may be one thing, but what they're actually doing is kind of the opposite of that.
Yeah, and I think they're also communicating to a certain type of, I don't want to say voter. Because you know what? A lot of the polls that we're seeing right now right. Cover people beyond the voting pool, beyond registered voters. And so sometimes opinion polls give us a skewed perspective. But I wonder if they're communicating directly now with the TikTok people. I'm not talking about the people
probably.
Who own TikTok. I'm talking about people who are on TikTok who are yeah. pissed off about Joe Biden.
Like the guy who came out and trimmed my trees. That's where he gets his news, TikTok. He's one of the TikTok
Jesus
people.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
But Rita Palma, who is New York director for RFK Jr.'s campaign, has been urging Republican voters to support Kennedy in the election, urging that a vote for him will help Donald defeat Joe Biden in the state. That's weird that she's doing. She's saying this to Republican voters.
Sense.
It doesn't
yeah.
make sense at all, does it?
Just vote for the Republican if you're a Republican. I mean, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she says here, Mary says, this needs to be a bigger story. If voters are aware that RFK Jr. is merely a spoiler with no realistic chance of winning, which he is. He's got no. He's not going to win a single electoral vote. Not at all.
Not a single state. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if he wins a single precinct. It's just not going to happen. She said, yeah, merely a spoiler with no realistic chance of winning. Left-leaning independents might be persuaded to steer clear of his candidacy in order to avoid inadvertently undermining their own interests. So hopefully that'll be the case. Hopefully Republicans will choose RFK Jr. because of vaccines or whatever snake oil they're into
right
now.
Well, yeah. I want to finish Mary's list, but I want to come back to polls because I've got some very interesting things to share with you on that subject
today. Oh, good. Okay, well, you know what? Let's take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to do item number 6 and item number 7. We're going to blast through these because I don't want to make the whole show about just Mary's list, because we have other stuff that we want to talk about, including polls, as you were saying. So let's do that. When we come back, we'll get into all that stuff.
I'll wash over the moon for you, Mary.
After a short break, George, back after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
As I was going over the Cork and Kerry Mountains, came upon Captain Pharaoh and his money he was counting. I first produced my pistol, then produced my rapier.
Jesus, they're good. This is Stop Calling Me Frank and a song called Whiskey in the Jar. We played this before, but it is so good. Just go to bobseska.com, find this episode dated 4/9/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support Stop Calling Me Frank's new single, Whiskey in the Jar, and all the independent music we play here on the show. Thank you for submitting. I so appreciate it. If you want to submit your work to the show, your music, just go to bobseska.com/music, and you can do it there. I believe the form is still there. Yeah, yeah.
There you go, supporting independent artists again.
I know. So sad, isn't it? No, I mean, I love, this is one of my favorite parts of doing the show, is playing this incredible music. And music, I mean, it's nice that we're talking about this in the context of Mary's article, which is articles that the news media isn't covering. Well, we cover the music that the mainstream music industry doesn't bother with, and we give this music the attention it deserves because it is quality shit and should be collecting all the Grammys. And
music is good.
Yes, music is always good and fun.
Go out on a limb there.
Yes, that's right. I was going out on a limb too. Yeah, music is fun and good.
Yes,
like a lot of people are just gonna go, what the fuck are you saying, Seska? Music is neither of those things. No, of course it is. Of course
Earth
it is.
Shattering.
Okay, so number 6 on Mary's list, getting back to Mary Trump's article, 7 things that aren't being discussed in the media. This is at marytrump.substack.com.
Right.
Donald laments that immigrants aren't coming from nice countries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is just the ongoing cavalcade of racism coming from Donald Trump. He was referring to him as not being human again. And
he did say he wants immigrants from nice countries. Nice is a quote.
Yeah.
Like Denmark. Like Denmark is a quote. Denmark is over 90% white.
Yeah.
And when Trump was president, he called predominantly black countries shitholes.
Jesus.
So if that information combined doesn't tell you everything you need to know about his racism, you are blind and deaf.
Yeah. Yeah. The exact quote here is, and when I said, you know, why can't we allow people to come in from nice countries? I'm trying to be nice. And you know he's sincere when he says that. He's always, you know, that's what Donald, always bending over backwards to be nice.
Sincere.
Yeah, nice countries, you know, like Denmark, Switzerland. How about Norway?
Nice white, lily white countries.
What about the Swedes? No, he didn't say that part, which would have made me laugh even more.
And he said that in Palm Beach, which is 98% white.
Remember Letterman used to do that bit, let's go looking for Swedes?
I don't remember that specific one, but that sounds right. Yeah.
A camera out in Times Square just going around and he'd ask people if he'd try to recognize if they're Swedish or not. Say, excuse me, sir, where are you from? And if they said Sweden, then of course the big graphic would flash on the Swede with exclamation marks after it. Oh. And then Paul would play a song, yeah.
I could have played that in Minneapolis when I worked there. Minnesota. Yeah.
Well, Mary also adds, speaking of nice countries and illegal immigration, I would like to remind Donald of our family history.
Yeah.
Friedrich Trump, Donald's grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, she says, left Germany in order to evade military service. It's shocking that that's a Trump thing. Both he and my great-grandmother, Elizabeth, were German, which means my grandfather, Donald's father, Fred, was, in right-wing parlance, an anchor baby. Wah, wah. There it is. Okay, number seven, because I said we blast. Okay, did you want to add something?
No. Let's go.
Number seven, Donald's abortion video was one of the biggest mistakes he ever made. And yes, we are going to talk about that separately here in just a second. But I want to talk about your poll thing. You have some observations about the polls, right?
Well, yeah, I do. Yeah, first of all, it's still early. I want everyone to know I'm not putting a lot of stock in this, but I just came across some interesting things here. Now, first, let's look at a couple of conservative-leaning polls.
Yeah.
Okay? Interactive poll. In February, it had Trump over Biden 43 to 41. Right now, Biden's 43 to 40. That's a 5-point swing.
Nice.
Real Clear Politics, another conservative-leaning poll. Virtual tie right now. Trump leads by a fraction of 1 point.
Yes.
So now let's look at
0.3% is the
0.00.
That's nothing. That is zero. Yeah, that is tied. Statistically, irrelevant.
Exactly. So, but interesting. It's fun to look at this stuff, I think. Right now, according to the Marquette Law School poll, it's Biden 52, Trump 48.
Nice.
Now you were talking about this earlier. These are likely voters. These are voters who are registered and have told the Marquette Law School poll that they are determined to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So they are planning on voting. They're definitely planning on voting, and they are registered. Trump, Biden 52, Trump 48. Biden, since February, or since, let's see, in the 6 weeks ending March 15th, Biden gained 4. Trump lost 4. That's an 8-point swing in the 6 weeks ending March 15th. This is the Marquette Law School poll. Undecideds, it's been theorized, they are coming to the realization it's going to be Trump and Biden. So a lot of people are realizing, well, it's not going to be a third party. Kennedy doesn't have a chance. People are finally, remember, I did a poll a couple of weeks back where it's like nearly half the voters thought Trump would not be the candidate, and on the Republican side and on the Democratic side, half the voters or more didn't think Biden would be the candidate.
Yeah.
Well, they're now coming to realize that, no, these are going to be the candidates. Mm-hmm. And so now this is why I think the poll numbers are starting to shift.
Yeah.
So they're coming to the realization it's just going to be the two of them. Now, I have a fun question. By the way, among all voters, it's a 50-50 tie in the Marquette Law School poll, but even that's an improvement over the 51 to 49 Trump lead of 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now, here's my, I have one fun trivia question for you.
Okay.
What do you think, what demographic is Trump beating Biden 64 to 36? Trump is beating Biden 64 to 36 in one demographic. What do you think it is?
It would be non-college educated white men.
No, I guess even better than that, Bob.
Okay.
That Trump beats Biden 64 to 36 among people not registered to vote. So congratulations. Congratulations, Trump and Republicans.
Yeah.
And that's really, and that's why I wait. Why did I wade through all those numbers? So I could get to that.
Yeah.
That Trump leads Biden 64 to 36 among people who won't be voting.
People who are irrelevant as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a couple of I want to add on to. I'm doing a yes and with your poll observations here.
Sure.
According to this RCP average, Real Clear Politics, which is one of the things you referenced here, showing Trump with a 0.3% national lead, the reason Donald Trump is still leading, the reason this poll average is skewed is because RCP includes the janky Rasmussen poll.
Right, right.
And shows Trump leading by 8 points nationally. That is 100%
bullshit.
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
It doesn't even include the Marquette University poll you mentioned. Right, that's not even in the polling average for RCP. So in addition to that, there's also the, I think it's I&I/TIP, just the tip, ma'am. Biden is leading by 3 points nationally in that poll, 43 to 40.
It's still close, and we can take nothing for granted, but there's just no reason for the gloom and doom anymore.
Yeah,
there just isn't.
And by the way, 17, that leaves 17 points. If you calculate 40 plus 43, that leaves 17 points of people who are either leaning toward a third party candidate or who are undecided. I still can't believe there are people in this country who are undecided in an election where Donald Trump is on the ballot. That's an amazing thing to me, and amazing in the worst ways. Like, do you people not even fucking remember? Where are your brains? Wake the fuck up.
So, I'm constantly surprised at the ignorance that I run into online from well-meaning people in many cases. You know, the perceptions that they get, the ideas that they get. And again, a lot of that is driven by not the stories in the media, but the headlines they put above those stories.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also noticed here in the RCP average, the Fox News poll, also janky, showing Trump leading nationally by 5 points. All the other polls are like 1 point advantage for Biden, 2 point advantage for Biden, 3 point advantage for Biden. There's one, I think the Emerson poll has Trump up by 1 point nationally, but nothing else is showing Donald Trump with an 8 point lead or a 5 point lead. Those are extreme outliers here.
And we need to underscore this here and now and try to make this clear and try to help people get a clear understanding of this. There was a time, don't laugh, there was a time that the Fox News poll was one of the most reliable political polls available.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then they fired the guy who ran it. Hmm. So now it's the inmates are running the asylum over there. And so you can never trust Fox polling again. Fox had a brilliant polling organization run by a brilliant man. And when Donald Trump heard Fox News call for, what was it, Nevada, Arizona, whatever it was, in 2020, you know, then heads began to fly, you know, heads began to roll.
Yeah.
And poll director was one of the people, one of the first people fired at Fox News. You can no longer rely on their numbers. There was a time, but not anymore. And that's what people should know.
So I want to mention, too, that as we talk about these poll numbers, the rule should be to add about 5 points to whatever Biden has. I'm serious. I think in our minds, I think we have to, at least in a casual way, in an informal way, unskew the polls. I hate to be that guy. But what we know is that the poll that Joe Biden and the Democrats routinely and consistently
outperform
the polls.
And Trump and the Republicans underperform what the polls predict. And that's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I don't want to get cocky. I don't know if it's 5 points. Mm. I mean, I think you're on to something there. But the important thing is we've come from a deficit to at least a tie and in some cases a lead. And all I'm saying is this is a message to us that it is not a hopeless cause.
Right.
This is a message to us that this is a winnable election. And so that hopefully will cheer up our demoralized troops somewhat to know you're telling me we've got a chance.
Yeah.
And we do. We really do. Bob's right. The numbers on Biden's side are probably higher than we're seeing. But because it is so close, we cannot take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
We have to assume that it is this close or that we're a couple of points behind. That's how we have to run the rest of this race to get the kind of overwhelming victory that we must have. I say this every election now, and this may be the last time for it.
If we don't,
if it doesn't go right. But This is not just the most important election of our lives. It's for all the marbles. I mean, that's all the stakes are involved in this election. Yeah. But we have a chance, and we must not take anything for granted. This is how we get what I've called for all along, and that's an overwhelming victory. That's what we need, isn't it? Not just a narrow victory. We need an overwhelming victory. Well, we've got a chance.
Yeah. I know it's heartbreaking to see so many stupid people and the fact that Donald Trump is competitive, at least according to the janky polls.
Right.
But still, we have to look at this from a winner-takes-all perspective. All we need is 270 in the Electoral College, and that is that.
That's all we need, but yeah. I want more. I think getting more, and it's not just a matter of what I want. It's not a matter of greed. It's a matter of the need to preserve democracy solidly. We can't just, we just barely saved democracy. I don't want that. I want to save democracy, but I'd like to come out of this not saying that we just barely won democracy, but that we solidly won democracy.
Yes. Okay. So now, connected to the polling issue is Donald Trump's abortion video that he posted yesterday. And the reason this is connected to polling, I'll explain right off the bat here. First of all, Donald Trump released a video on Truth Central yesterday or whatever, wherever he's posting these videos, where he stands in this darkened room with a couple American flags and really starts
blurry. I don't know what they're smearing Vaseline on the lens or what they're
doing. That's it. They're trying to make him seem more youthful by blurring the camera. Right. I don't know what. It's in darkness. He lives in Florida, for fuck's sake. And every video is made in complete darkness.
Right.
And it's, you know, and his delivery, we'll play a couple of clips here in a second, but his delivery sounds more and more like an AI version of Donald Trump's voice, right? So the reason he did this video yesterday, and I am entirely convinced of this, I have no information to confirm this, but this is my speculation. Donald Trump saw some internal polling, and it made him shit himself.
Or his people did, yeah.
Yeah, because we don't know what the internal polling is unless you're Russian and you're connected to Paul Manafort.
That's the way.
But the internal polling is probably much more accurate than the public polling. Mm-hmm. And there was probably poll results that indicated, Donald, you're going to lose a lot of states because of the Republican extreme position on reproductive rights and IVF. So get out there, present some sort of seemingly moderated tone of voice on the issue, which he doesn't do, by the way.
No.
He's just as extreme as always. But do this thing to reassure people that you're not going to pass a national abortion ban. Here's the thing. Project 2025 calls for a national abortion ban. If Donald Trump is president, there will be a national abortion ban.
That's right.
That is without a doubt. Plus, evangelicals know that Donald Trump is lying. Right. Everything that he said in that video, they know he's lying about it.
I know it's hard to believe, kids, but he's lying.
Right. This is the same guy who decided to kill a Republican immigration bill that Joe Biden promised to sign just because it was bad for politics. This is Donald Trump making a choice based on a political consideration and not on something that is ethical and constitutional, anything like that. So
just politics.
Yeah, I would bet like $100 that Donald Trump's internal polling is scaring the baggy pants off of him.
Mm-hmm. And I also bet that he's lying and that nothing he said yesterday was true.
OK, so let's listen to a couple of clips here and talk about them. I promise they are short. Bear that in mind. So here, I mean, right off the bat, he takes credit for ending Roe v. Wade like he has all along. And that's all you need to know, ultimately.
Especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded.
No.
He ended.
No.
Wow. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended.
No, wow. They didn't. Right. most legal experts think that Roe v. Wade was, and most Americans support Roe v. Wade.
And then he further shoots himself in the foot by turning around and blaming extreme anti-abortion forces for making this mess that he just admitted making by proudly overturning Roe v. Wade.
And which he tacitly supports because he said that he wants to leave the issue up to the states. And as we know, the states are passing extreme crackdowns on abortion. I forget exactly. I think it's Iowa, where you can actually be arrested and thrown to prison for aiding and abetting an abortion. Mm-hmm. This is the leave it up to the states idea. That's right. What it's getting us. Plus, you know what? It's also getting you, leaving it up to the states. On the other hand, it's getting you, you know, abortion access. So what, Donald Trump supports that too? Where is he on the sanctity of life in the parlance of the anti-abortion movement?
Bob, the poor man is just trying to get elected.
That's exactly right. And he'll say and do anything he can to get there.
That's right.
Including contradicting himself, including possibly scaring off evangelical voters. Although, as I said, I think they all believe that he's lying. They all know that Project 2025 will lead to a national abortion ban.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is the weird thing. This next chunk of the video is the thing that I focus on probably more than anything else, and it has to do with IVF. Let's listen to Donald Trump talking about IVF, or I should say, the Donald Trump AI voice.
I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that?
Well, here's where we are with that, with IVF. Republicans, shockingly enough, in the post-hypocrisy era, are loaded with hypocrisy now on this issue.
Oh, yeah.
Because now they're scrambling to triage this Alabama Supreme Court decision that banned IVF by embracing IVF. Well, Trump says he also now supports IVF. And according to Axios, in 2021, there were 86,000 pregnancies in the United States via IVF. But in that process, 116,000, quote unquote, I'm making dick quotes with my fingers right now, 116,000 babies were destroyed in order to get there. So what this is an exception to the embryos and fetuses are persons, because they want to create an exception for people with money. That's the dividing line. IVF is usually purchased by people who have the financial means to get it. Mm-hmm. Abortion, on the other hand, is something that lower income people also need access to. But we're not going to bother with the thing, with the destruction of embryos that happens with poor people. We're going to keep it legal for the rich people or the wealthier people. And that's what this is. That's the defense of IVF is about defending wealthier, mostly white people in order to get IVF treatment. And they don't care about the destruction of the quote unquote babies involved in that process. So therein is a gigantic exception to their fetal personhood nonsense. So I don't know how they're threading this needle. And it's no wonder the red hats just go indiscriminately bananas all the time with steam shooting out of their ears, because they're getting this contradictory message from their leadership. Oh, we think embryos and fetuses are persons, except when it's in the process of using IVF, then fuck it. We can just destroy all the fetuses and embryos that we want in that process.
Well, we've known about the hypocrisy for quite some time. Yeah. We've known about it. You and I have known about it. And maybe because of this, more people will be aware of it, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line for me in all this is Trump ended his campaign yesterday because he gave us the greatest gift. He gave us a gift that will keep on giving through Election Day. He's given the Biden campaign a gift it can keep on using through Election Day. And the Democrats, who have that $186 million to spend on TV advertisements and the internet as well, they have something. They were given a gift yesterday by Trump doing this. This is he really shot himself, maybe not in the foot, but more in the spleen yesterday with this, because this is going to hang around his neck and the Republicans' neck every day through the campaign, through the election.
And the other thing I have to say is F you to any mainstream political news media who claim that Donald Trump was moderating his position on this issue.
Right. There was a lot of that. I think a lot of people will see the headline saying, leave it up to the states. Oh, well, he's, you know, that's nice of him.
Well, and that's the goal.
Leave it up to the state.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it creates a gentler picture of this madman who will nationally ban abortion along with the help of Lindsey Graham, who's pretending to fight with right now.
Right. Well, anyone who thinks that he's moderating his position didn't hear this portion of the video yesterday.
It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position, because They support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what
no.
it is. The
Why?
Baby is born, the baby is executed
no.
after
Never
birth
no.
is
nope.
unacceptable,
Not
and
real.
Almost everyone agrees with that.
No, 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 no.
No, that is
doesn't happen.
Oh God, that is the most grotesque lie that he tells. I mean, there are a lot of grotesque lies.
And a lot of people, perhaps millions of Americans, believe that.
It is completely untrue. What he's talking about, and I hate to have to clarify this over and over again, I think we all know what he's talking about, but just to be clear, he's talking about the process where if you have a baby that is born with life-ending catastrophic birth defects, conditions that will not allow that baby to survive, what you want to do as a parent is you want that baby to be as comfortable as possible as it passes on. You don't want to torture that baby with extreme medical procedures to keep it alive when it is not going to live anyway.
You wouldn't want that for yourself.
No, you wouldn't want that for anyone. Right. It is inhumane to take that right away, to claim that that process, which is so personal and so heart-wrenching, and to turn it into, yes, these parents, and what he means is women, these women want to murder their babies. They want to have that right. And that's how far the Democrats are going to go, to allow abortion to not just be a thing that happens during pregnancy, but after pregnancy. They want to be able to take their pillows and smother their babies with their pillows and to be able to get away with that without any murder charges. In fact, they would be charged with murder if they murdered their baby.
Of
but
course.
This is something else. This is palliative care. This is like hospice care for
right.
a newborn. And that needs to be protected. And God damn it, Ralph fucking Northam, former Democratic governor of Virginia, bungled that explanation to a point where it was easily taken out of context and distorted by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republican movement, and turned into what Donald Trump is saying here, which is just a complete lie to piss people off, to rally the most extreme elements of the anti-abortion, anti-choice, misogynistic movement. And what it will eventually do, and I'm surprised it hasn't already, I'm surprised it hasn't led to death. Again, it completely contradicts any analysis that Donald Trump is moderating. He is not. Don't believe him. And you know what? This is a message that I think is necessary for not just the broader population, but for liberals as well. Because sometimes when Donald Trump says shit enough, it does start to pick away at the outer edges of the liberal movement as well. People start to believe. That's one of the reasons why, and we're talking about Joe Biden voters in 2020, so they may not all be liberals, but that's one of the reasons why so many Biden voters in 2020 are defecting, because the big lie about the 2020 election and January 6th,
right.
that's become watered down through Donald Trump's relentless lying about election fraud or
Absolutely.
Whatever the fuck he's saying.
Yeah. He has succeeded in desensitizing us. I mean,
yeah.
it was a Nazi technique. To repeat a lie often enough that even the people who didn't believe it at first began to believe it.
Yeah.
The lie becomes so pervasive, it seems like the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're worn down by, and Bob warned about this 3, 4, 8, time flies, years ago,
yeah.
warned about the normalization of Trump's behavior in relationship to the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
We have become numb to his uncouthness.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have the impact that it should. We should be, and we've talked about this before, in any other normal time of history, some of these things would have shut down the store.
It's not shocking to notice that Donald Trump posted a video yesterday during the eclipse that was an animation of his own ridiculous-looking silhouette blocking out the sun and saying that this is what's going to happen in the election. Well, the stupid fucking thing about that is that's what he did for 4 years. And that's one of the reasons why he lost in 2020. It wasn't the only reason he lost in 2020, but it was one of the reasons. I think people were sick and fucking tired of Donald Trump blocking out the sun 24/7 in our lives, in our living rooms.
Right.
He wouldn't shut the fuck up. He wouldn't go away. He wouldn't stop. It drove people bananas, especially when they were locked in their houses during the initial part of COVID. And having to deal with this guy every day doing those goddamn press conferences. So, yeah, keep advertising that Donald Trump is going to once again block out the sun in our lot. I know it's metaphorical, but still, yeah. It's the idea of it. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why, you know, he just continues to make things worse for himself. It's a bad strategy. It may work for the MAGA people. Not going to work on the general population as far as this.
You would have liked the video that I saw better. Mm-hmm. The one, it was, you know, put together from the last eclipse, I think, or when Trump was looking at it without glasses.
Yeah.
But it was Trump and Melania looking up from a balcony at the White House. And when they look up at the sun, and the totality occurs, we see Joe Biden's red eyes from the...
this is a Dark Brandon
thing. The Dark Brandon theme appears in the darkness of the moon, and you just see Biden's red eyes start coming through, and then the whole face. That's my favorite video. I do worry on the fatigue subject. I do want Americans to be fatigued of Trump again. I worry that with my constant news updates about Trump, and other things I may post about Trump across various social media, that a lot of people are maybe tuning me out because they're tired of it. You know, they don't want to hear it. But I'm determined to forge ahead, because if I get to one person, if I somehow affect the thinking of one human being, then the whole thing in my mind will have been worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. I know that I am dying to talk about Truth Central, uh-huh, and its ongoing collapse. So we're going to talk about that after one last short break. More podcasting still to come right after these words.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. The recovery from the Trump years has taken 3 years, and still people are not accepting that we've made an amazing recovery. I mean, 39 straight months of job growth. Jobs are growing faster than kudzu, man. It's like the most amazing job growth, period. 39 months in a row. Can I just say, if you think immigrants are taking your job, they're leaving a lot of openings, so quit bitching about that. They're leaving you plenty of work. It's unbelievable. Another round of economic growth that is so good that Fox News can't even cover it. Isn't that something? So Fox Business obviously had to cover it. They had to, because it's Fox Business. Fox News doesn't want to cover any of this. It's just like so amazingly freaky to see reality just pass them by because it's not the narrative they want spoken. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
I know that I search far and wide. I'd work till my skin starts to bleed. Then maybe I could finally find a place for you and me. But is it true you feel it too? Maybe it's just only me. Lately I have come to find the key. You don't have to leave me.
Oh, so good. This is brand new music from Our New Autumn. and a track called Anything. So wonderful. Yeah, you know what? Independent recording artists. They need to rule the world, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. BobSeska.com. Just go to this episode dated 4/9/24 to download this song. Get it in your record collection now. Okay, so let's see what else here. Oh, I gotta troll Donald Trump about Troth, Truth, Central.
Troth, Truth, Central.
It's got Troth, it's got Truth, it's got Central. It's got everything you want in a shitty, shithole social media brand.
It's awful.
Yes, so as of right now, Troth Central, Trump Media Technology Group Corp., is now down 1.48% for the day. So it's actually, this is like a good day for Troth Truth Central.
And it's early in the day, too.
Yeah. I mean, initially, upon open, it dropped. It was down, God, it doesn't say what percentage, but it was down to $35 a share. Right now, it's selling at $36 a share, but it's still down. And, you know, it's a shitty stock. You know that Donald Trump is doing really poorly, losing all kinds of value off his net worth. When a day when it's down 1.43% is actually a good day, like when a down day is actually good news for Donald Trump, that's how bad the stock is.
If you haven't lost a million by noon, it's a good day. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I'm not going to give investment advice on the show.
No, you should never take investment advice from us, even though we're insured.
Yes, and not, don't take investment advice from me ever. Mm-hmm. But you know what would hurt this stock even more, and I'm surprised, I'm sure people are doing it already, is to short sell the stock.
Right.
Yeah, because chances are it will continue to
if drop. You can afford, if you you know, if you got yes, money to burn and you want to play that game. But that's on you, not us.
Right, okay? right.
Just want to get that straight. Right,
I'm not recommending that you put any of your money into anything related to Donald Trump. That is a huge mistake, no matter how you slice it. It's because, you know, you don't want to be caught in the vortex, dragged down like when the Titanic went down and people would get sucked down with the boat, right? You don't want that. You don't want to be anywhere near that. But some more great news for those of us who are on the normal side of the political ledger.
Yep.
Trump's net worth has tumbled by $2 billion since Troth Central stock peaked last month.
At least.
Yeah.
I had heard three, but yeah, it's a bunch of money.
Oh, it could be three by now because this story is from yesterday.
Ah.
The sell-off has shrunk former President Donald Trump's stake in the controversial company by about, it says here, $2.9 billion. So the headline actually undersold the number. What a shock there that CNN would post a headline that was somewhat inaccurate. $2.9 billion might as well be what you said, Buzz. $3
billion. Maybe that's where I got that, yes.
Why are they?
I look at that. Yeah, I look at 2.9, I see 3. I'm silly that way.
Well, it's CNN. CNN lowballed this. CNN rounded down for their headline.
Well, yeah, I don't know what happens. I mean, usually headline writers and story writers don't know what each other are doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes they post a story with a headline and then the story gets updated, but they don't update the headline and vice versa. So, headlines are just read the story.
Yeah,
you
I know.
That's where the facts are.
So that number is down sharply from a peak of $5.2 billion based on the closing high of $66 on March 27th, the day after the IPO. So Trump owns a dominant stake of 78.8 million shares in Trump Media, which launched in 2021. Its plans to go public by merging with a shell company was delayed for years by regulatory and legal scrutiny. Deservingly so, it's a Donald Trump negotiation. It's a Donald Trump business. You have to scrutinize what's going on because chances are there's a level of fraud happening. Yeah.
The company and its stock have lost more than half their value. Good work, Don. Yeah. Good work.
Now, I could swear Rachel Maddow on her show talked about this Russian-American investor who bailed out Troth Truth Central, which we talked about last Thursday. It's this guy, Anton Postolnikov, who's Russian-American. I mean, he's an American citizen, but his lineage is Russian. And The Guardian learned that ES Family Trust, which is operated by Postolnikov, co-owns Paxum Bank, which is a bank that offers financial services to the porn industry.
Huh.
They bailed out Troth Truth Central. And the other thing you want to know about Postolnikov is he's also the nephew of Alexander Smirnov, who's the guy who's delivering Russian disinformation to the House Republicans.
Who did until he was jailed.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, there's Russia, the whole Russia thing. It's all a big hoax, isn't it? Right? It's nothing burger. That's what we're being led to believe. Oh, and by the way, now I got to play this. I've been delaying. I got to apologize to Rocky Mountain Mike. I should have played this last Tuesday, but I didn't get to it. I forgot because I'm an idiot. But we got to get to this. This is so much fun.
Our story starts in the crummiest of buildings, in the crummiest of countries, Putin, Sylvania, where a secret meeting of Mr. Big and his top henchmen was taking place.
So, members of my inner circle, how goes our invasion of Migraine?
Yes, Mr. Big, how can I say this? All of our men are deserting, and, well, they sank our battleship.
That makes me so mad. This calls for unscrupulous action, for lying, cheating, and the lowest human on Earth.
That would be me.
What is this?
No, Mr. Big was not talking about Paul Boris Madinoff.
Oy vey.
But rather...
Yep, I'm your guy.
That's right. To see his evil scheme through, Mr. Big was going to rely on that Mozart of Middle America manipulation, that master of MAGA maniacal...
Say the name.
None other than Donald Trump.
Why him? Why not me? I didn't do nothing.
Don't be stupid, Madinoff. I need you to oversee him and make sure he doesn't screw it up.
Okay. Come, Natasha.
No, Boris, darling. I'm going to be with Trump. My name is now Melania.
That? You must be crazy. Look what you do to yourself.
I really don't care. Do you?
Give me a break.
Madinoff, you'd better play along.
And if I don't?
Then you'd better be careful around any windows.
He's got you there.
I was just kidding.
And with that, the trio, Boris, Natasha, Melania, and Trump, headed to America. Nice. Is there a rapidly approaching sidewalk in Boris's future? Find out next time in Heaven from the Seventh Floor, or Will You Still Shove Me Tomorrow?
Yeah. Rocky and Bullwinkle fans, that was Joe Winkle and Malarkey by Rocky Mountain Mike. Just
yes,
excellent.
Thank you.
I love it. I, I'm terrified of AI. I don't trust it. I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. But I must admit, the narrator was pretty good. It sounded pretty much like the original narrator. Yeah. And Melania just knocked it out of the park. Knocked it out of the park with Melania, which was performed by June Foray as Natasha originally. Yes. But then as Melania here, it sounded just like her back in the day. Really. And as Rocky Mountain Mike did a great job of putting that together. He obviously wrote the script for it, and the script is hilarious. We liked it very much.
Yeah, so good. Especially for those of you who are old enough to remember Rocky and Bullwinkle, which I do, Buzz does.
Yes, yeah. Well, they're timeless. You know what? I think they're just as funny today as they were then.
Yes, absolutely.
They were always cartoons for grown-ups.
Yeah, but it's still funny even if you don't know who Rocky and Bullwinkle are.
Of course
are.
It
so,
is.
Anyway. Yeah. But, one last note here. Some good news, ending with good news here. We talked about this on Friday. One of my favorite after parties of every month is the first after party of the month when we get to talk about the huge new jobs report under Joe Biden's record job creation first term, right?
Right.
And so we got 303,000 new jobs created in the month of March. Yep. The expectation was 214,000. So once again, defying expectations. Thank you, Joe Biden. The other thing is here, January and February, I think January was revised up. February was revised downward a little bit, creating a net gain in jobs
of
22,000 jobs across those 2 months alone. So that get additional jobs added, right?
And through it all, for more than well over 2 years now, unemployment under Joe Biden has remained under 4% for years now.
Yes, yes. And we have to get the word out to the folks, to regular voters. And I think it is. I think it's starting to seep out into the public consciousness in terms of the Joe Biden economic record. Whether it's jobs or GDP or the Dow or all these things are booming.
I like to say pretty nice economy you've got there. It would be a shame if you let an election ruin that.
Yes. And what you can count on, and this is the other thing that we need to get out there, that if Donald Trump wins, there will be a recession. The historical trend shows that that will happen. Every Republican president in the last 100-plus years has presided over a recession during their one or two terms. It has happened every single time. So it's fair to say that if Trump becomes president, there will be another recession. How deep it is just determinative based on how unstable Donald Trump will be. And Donald Trump will be extraordinarily unstable.
We're not going to let that happen, are we?
No, we are not. Because getting the word out will be a huge mission in terms of making sure it doesn't happen.
We've got a chance.
Do the work. Spread the word. Get the normals. Let them know what's going on. Okay, Shadow Docket coming up next. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Buy a t-shirt.